You've tuned into 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL, Quality of Life. Now, that could be, well, could be all kinds of things. Drink, food, experiences, adventures, just even your... I've talked to people about choosing paint for their home. I've talked to people about choosing carpeting. It's vast. Quality of life, whatever that means for you, and the pieces that all add up to, you know, improving it. And I'm thinking about food today. I'm thinking about, I can't believe I'm talking about canning today. And, you know, it's a company called Scout Canning, and I know little or nothing about it, except what I've read in a Globe and Mail article. And Charlotte Langley, tell us about Scout Canning and where you are. And I've got so many questions for you, Charlotte. Go ahead.
Question number one is, what Globe and Mail article was that? Was that the one from 2017, or was that a more recent one?
I think it was much more recent. Or where else would I... I mean, I discovered you... Did I read about you in an airline seatback magazine, or...
Possibly, yeah. I've sort of been... I share my cans all across the country and in all across North America. So there's... You know what? Very gratefully, a lot of opportunities. We may have heard about Scout just sort of in the back of the magazine and the front and pieces of the Globe and Mail, or maybe just a small ad through your favorite social media channel. You never know. There's lots of opportunities there. But
so true.
Yeah, I'm the chef founder of Scout.
Tell me, I mean, canning, that was something that people used to do, but don't do much of anymore. This is...
It's less attractive than it used to be, but it's coming back. It's coming back.
What would bring you to canning, and why would people be afraid of it? I mean, I would think canning is a wonderful way to take the goods of the moment and save it for the future.
That's a very good point. I think people are more, maybe just a tin, not maybe not tin, but they associate tin food with it being a lower quality or a lower grade food, which is not true. You know, we see a lot of tin food in the grocery store. There's aisles of it, you know, from tomatoes to corn to peaches to you name it, and fish. It sort of fell off fashion. You know, I think the biggest influence came from the fact that we developed single-use plastics, pouches, bags, things that were easy to freeze, easy to store, cost less. You know, you can throw or put corn in a bag, seal it up for a couple of pennies versus having to go through the retort process or the cooking process.
The what process?
It's called retort, which is the cooking process, basically. It's to make it safe for food service.
That's when it, like, when you do home canning and you hear the top go...
Yes, that's the sound effect that you definitely need to have. But when it comes to the kind of canning that we do, we work with commercial facilities, large-scale commercial facilities, and it goes through a process called retort, which is basically sealing. This is going to be a very quick summary. You're pouring the can, so you're putting the product in the tin, and you just sterilize that product and make sure that the product is safe. So it has to go through a cook time and a cook temperature to ensure that the product hits the market safely. And well, but also has that extended shelf life that we're looking to accomplish.
Well, that's marvelous. I mean, Shelf life is really what this is about. Do cans have dates on them saying, you know, used before?
Yes, they do. They're extended. So, you know, it's about 5 years is sort of the range of shelf life on a can. But I've seen some, like, you know, army surplus stuff from the 60s that people are still popping open and experimenting with. Like,
spam.
I wouldn't recommend that, but
no.
That being said, it's more about, for me, it's like the preservation of a product in the bumper season. So, for example, corn, peaches, fish, you know, seafood is seasonal as well. You know, like, we're not just catching salmon every day. There's only a short season for salmon, so we have to harvest them in season and then process and then can them.
And Charlotte, I mean, when we say salmon, that's a very broad, there's steelhead, there's coho, there's spring, there's pink chum.
There's a large scale of varieties.
And so they all have their season.
They all have their season. So pink salmon, for example, only spawn every 2 years. They don't make babies every year. They make babies every 2 years. So you kind of have to work with their season if you're going to work with a pink salmon versus a coho or a sockeye, whatever it may be. And also the ethics and harvesting methods behind how you're getting your salmon. Like, this is a, you know, do we have 2 hours to talk about this?
We can do multiple programs. I think the ethics of food is something that needs to be explored better how we, I mean, it's not just the vegan and vegetarian versus meatitarian. It's much broader than that. You're right. Charlotte.
It's the whole supply chain.
Okay, so can I do this on all my programs. Can I roll the calendar back? How did you come to food?
Oh, goodness. Well, realistically, I've always been involved with food, but I didn't really recognize where I was going to land in this sort of category. My grandfather was a founder of a company in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and he had a company where he was doing a lot of, like, processing, and he was, like, a co-packer, which I now work with co-packers. And I think subtly, it was born into me, you know, like this entrepreneurial spirit, as well as being a founder or starting a company that was contributing to a positive environment for food ethics, as well as, you know, high nutrition, absolutely delicious, and looking at alternative packaging outside of what we always do. I'm not just going to sit around and do what everybody else does. Unfortunately, I have a problem with trying to push the boundaries.
Right.
So it happened by accident. I call it a happy accident in the sense where I wasn't expecting to go into food. It surprised me. But now I understand how I got here, which was through a lot of family history. And by being a chef, it was a conduit and a tool to gain respect, trust in the industry, to then utilize those tools to create products or do product development to bring a product to market that was much bigger than I ever thought it would be. So applying my ethics as like a seafood ambassador, the chef ambassador for MS Seafood Canada, as an example, and bringing that line of quality, care, and traceability to general consumers, you know, has become a mission and one of the missions that I'm on. Absolutely. Wow.
So going back to that moment when you were like 12 or 15 years old, did you choose to go to a culinary school? I mean, Algonquin has a program, George Brown has a program, Niagara College. Where did you go, or did you do what many do, is learn at the side of chef and sous chef, learn over the stove?
I grew up in Prince Edward Island, right? So my family's from Ontario, but I'm from PEI. And they actually have this program, it's called the Adult Retraining Program. It's a federal funded program that puts you to college. So it has to be a vocational situation. It's not for university. And what happens is the government at the time was paying up to 70% of tuition and living costs. And growing up in PEI, there's not a lot of...
No, but there's a school there.
Support. Yeah, and that's why. So I applied to go to colleges all across Canada, culinary schools, because I was like, I need a job. I need to figure out something to do. I'm not going to university right now. I applied to culinary schools across Canada, and PEI was like, hey, since you're from here, we have this retraining program. We can help you get through school, which helped my very good friend growing up. Her mother would happen to work for the federal government, and she was like, here's the paperwork that you need to figure out. It wasn't online. Like, there was no online option. It was like, here's the form you fill out, and you go down to the office, and you just wait until someone talks to you, and hopefully you get approved.
On Queen Street in Charlottetown, I think.
This was actually Somerset, which is
okay.
This was down by the water, off of Granville. Anyway, I ended up going to school because I needed a job. I needed to figure out what am I going to do to make money, right? We all need to get a job. That's all that exciting stuff. But I ended up falling in love with it. And PEI gave me the best offer, as in, like, they were able to support me through school. They put me on, you know, an EI program, basically is what it is. And I ended up graduating 2 years later with honors and excelled in the program. More than I always did okay in school, but I really excelled in culinary. And it was creative, interesting, you know. I like the systems. I like having things dining nice in a row. I like understanding, you know, the more tips you cut off the end of a carrot, that means more waste that you're producing. How do you maximize, you know, tip to tip and the peel? And it just sort of made my brain go, whoa, what are the opportunities I have here? And there have been many. Canning came much later, but yes. I'd hearken to eating canned food in PEI, a lot of it. So we eat chicken hattie, and I always bring this up, and people are like, what's chicken hattie? It's not chicken, it's fish in a can. And it makes the best fish cakes, and it makes so many great tasty components, but it's also cost effective.
Yes.
You know, it's not expensive, so it fed a lot of people, you know, well-caught, delicious tinned fish. And as a kid, not realizing that it would be influencing my life.
And then you ended up cooking in Toronto and other places?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so I cooked in Niagara. I cooked in British. I started in BC. I've done Niagara. I've done Toronto. I've done Ottawa. I've done a bit of where I am now, which is Prince Edward County. I still cook. I cook all across the country. I've cooked in New York, Germany, Norway. Like I cook everywhere.
Wow. When I can I ask, because we haven't had this conversation. We've only just met. To a full
That's
disclosure here,
right.
folks out there in Radio Land, we do not know each other, but we realize
That's
we've
true.
had overlap. Where in BC did you work?
I was the first restaurant I ever cooked in professionally was a restaurant called C Restaurant in Vancouver, which is no longer open.
No.
But the executive chef there was Robert Clark, who's a huge seafood ambassador or representative and passionate guy. And then Robert Beltran was his chef de cuisine. So I trained under those two guys in 2001 or something. I can't remember the years anymore. But that restaurant, I was there for a few for a little while, and then the restaurant's now closed. But I've worked there, and I come out to do events there all the
I thought
time.
you might
And
have
then I'm
done a
like stuck there.
stage over at Souk Harbor House. That was my old stomping
Oh
ground.
my gosh. No, I have been there though. I've eaten there. And my mother lives in Powell River. So, it's not too far from
Well, when
I'm
you're
out and
out.
about in BC every once in a while.
So there you are out in BC. You come back to Ontario. When did the canning start to really be part of your life? And when we've got to talk about product line, we really do, and all those things. But so
Yeah, for sure.
canning, it did that come to you as like an aha moment, or did it kind
I
of?
think so. It felt like it. Now, if you look at the industry of what's happened around the tin fish specifically and where it's going, like the category is exploding. And we didn't have co I didn't Scout didn't have competition when it started, as in like other brands that were doing similar things. Not really. Like there were a few that have been doing it for a long time, like St. Hubert's and Nanaimo and a few others in North America, but no one was really marketing it or pushing it to the public eye. And it really came down to, I think I was trying to find a way to have a larger impact in the community, and the community being Canada or North America, and being so passionate about sustainable sourcing and ethically responsible sourcing of seafood. I was like, how do I get something out there that's like delicious and unique and tastes like me? So yeah, I can like, go home with you in a can. Like that was sort of the initial idea. And it's true. It's like, how do I help you make dinner tonight or have a snack or throw a party? I want to be involved with you because I feel like I can host a pretty good party and I make a pretty good dinner. So I just sort of like started exploring ideas like, what does packaged food look like these days? CPG, consumer packaged goods, what
Food.
does that look like? It looks like stuff in plastic, single-use pouches. A lot of it's frozen, like all these things. And if you remember the trend in the early 2000s of mason jars being everywhere, I've said this a few times in other interviews, like I didn't want to use glass because I was like, everyone's seen that for the last 10 years. Like they're over that visual, what's different? Cans. That was it. So I was like, how do you can food? I've done jars and stuff, and I did a lot of testing that way, but I just started looking for equipment and materials that could help me understand how to can food properly. So it's like, hot packing at home, all these things that people have just done, for 100 plus years. How do we make that available to the
Was there
marketplace as something?
experimentation on your part? Did
Oh
you
yeah,
have to like
tons.
delve deeply into this? Did you talk to like experts and go find
Well,
people?
very funny enough, there were not a lot of people that were really talking about it or really interested in talking to me about it. They're like, you're crazy. Like, what the hell are you doing this? That's usually when you know that you're on the right path, when someone tells you, or many people tell you that you're a wild card. I found a piece of equipment. I was just sort of like, on, what's that called? I was going to say Tinder, but it wasn't that. It was, what's that? Kijiji. And I was like, anyway, and,
Hang on, let me match you up with some canning equipment
pretty
here on
much. That's
Tinder,
the
sure.
same idea. Swipe right for your canning equipment. And I swiped right on this guy's place who had an old piece of equipment at his house and or his warehouse. And I just went and grabbed it and picked it up for a couple hundred bucks. Brought it home. The canning equipment I still have here. It's an old hot pack machine that you'd use in your home. It's not a commercial level. But I just started like going, okay, now I have this machine. I need to find cans. I didn't know where to find cans because it's not like 1-800-CANS-STOP,
Yeah,
Cans R
they've
Us.
got
Like
yes,
that hotline
exactly.
doesn't
Or
exist. And a
Uline,
lot of the
yes.
canneries, and well, not even Uline. Like this is, if you're not doing like 100,000 units, if you're buying volume, sure that makes sense. But if you're just doing product development and just trying to figure out how to start up something, you only want like 100 cans
Right.
or whatever. So I ended up buying 10,000 cans by kind of by accident. Well,
How many
it was
ounces?
not worth it.
How many ounces were these cans?
They were 4 ounce cans.
4 ounce cans.
So like your standards are like tuna size can.
Yes.
But I had to help my friend who had, they're coming from the States, and they're like, yeah, I'm broke this in. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Just here's the money, get them to me, you know, like I'm also impatient, but also patient. So I ended up brokering these cans into a friend's company, and they got delivered to my house. And I got a phone call when I was working in the restaurant.
10,000 cans?
Yeah. And they weren't the cans that are angled, like beveled. They were straight side, straight wall cans. So yep. They're stacked on top of each other. So guess what? The boxes are like 4x4x4 boxes. They're really light, but they're loaded. And I got a call. I was working at the restaurant. The guy's like, I'm here. I'm like, what does I'm here mean? He goes, I'm at your house. I'm like, you're scheduled for like, you know, Friday or Tuesday or whatever. He goes, well, I'm here now.
Yep.
He dropped a skid on the sidewalk downtown Toronto in the middle of the afternoon. Two full skids on the sidewalk in front of my house and left. So I had to like relieve. I ran. I got jumped in the taxi, ran, flew home in a taxi, jumped out and just started like hand bombing, you know, 10,000 cans, which I think was... I didn't know how many boxes there were. There were a lot of boxes. It took me about 30 minutes, and I was moving quick. Then I had to go back to the restaurant to do service, to do dinner service. But they came, and I just started messing about. You know, like, it really is about exploring and, like, safely exploring. And the idea, like, the conceptually, you know, when you put something into a can, it has to be sterilized, which is the cooking, you know, like, the product has to be nicely cooked and fresh and good, whether it's raw or cooked. And then you seal it, and the sealing machine has to be, like, perfectly tuned up, and then it has to go through retort, which is the cooking process, and that's like the heat penetration, like the heat getting inside and making sure the pathogens that are bad are killed off, because there's a whole bunch of different things that can happen if you don't know what you're doing. So like, I highly recommend for anyone that's listening, if you're canning at home, like, you really need to look at the CFIA health and safety standard guidelines for canning. Don't just like wing it.
Well, I don't know Charlotte, if people will be doing canning, but I think they're interested I know
the mason jar is the same idea. It's the same sort of concept. So for it to be a certain level of sterilization for self-stable, it has to hit these certain
jams, jellies, standards. Any of those things. Yes.
Yeah. Canned salmon at home. People do that in BC all the time. Yes. Like, they're canned in jars of salmon. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. I just started experimenting and just was exploring. You know, I canned a bunch of crazy stuff. I did ice cream cakes and pierogies and fried chicken.
There we go. Now you're into it. That's what really attracted me to reach out to you, is you're canning happiness.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm going to try this. Like, I highly recommend not canning chopped liver because it looks horrendous.
Right. But you just said cake and...
Yeah, and I was freezing it. Like, you know, and you open it up and you get a little bag of sprinkles on the side and canned pierogies and, like, a beautiful, like, you know, smoked sour cream, like, kind of brothy thing.
Wow.
Like, these things were, like, wild, wildly experimental and... a bit of a distraction, to be honest with you. I needed to focus on turning this into a project that could, you know, maybe pay me a couple of bucks.
So let's approach it then from the moment, like now. How do we find your products? Where do we find, I mean, if they're in Toronto, Pussateri's, Bruno's, somewhere like that.
Italy. All those places stock and carry them. Those are many of our stockists. Eataly, Farm Boy, Whole Foods, Whole Foods across the country, across North America, actually.
And what does it say on the outside of the can?
It says Scout. Then it has the products labeled. Like, the Scout is the big...
I've seen one with a pink and pink and blue label.
Yeah, so that maybe is the lobster that you saw, or the tuna and extra virgin olive oil. The lobsters are most, like, popular because it's a unique, very unique product. And we're taking a little, we're a bit overwhelmed, depending on when you put this out into the world, we're a little bit overwhelmed with holiday sales. So our Canadian site's a little bit on the pause right now. We have too many orders to manage, which is a good thing.
But since it will go out there, Charlotte, tell us, can we order also online? Will things be delivered by Canada Post to us? Not at Christmas, but after that.
Yeah, it can be. Absolutely. We started as a D2C company because we launched in COVID. Mm-hmm. We commercialized and launched Scout in 2020. So it was all D2C.
Online. Just Google Scout canning and...
It's enjoyscout.com.
Enjoyscout.ca.
You'll find all the information there.
Wow. Okay, but even developing a website... I mean, the restaurants that you've worked at have all had websites and they've all done marketing. I mean, in your head, were you thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to be an entrepreneur now and I've got to do all these things and think about marketing and labeling and Like, did you hand label these cans at the beginning?
I did at the beginning. I was doing a bunch of everything was ad hoc. That's normal. You know, you start your
Yes.
kitchen. You're like building labels to keep things on. You know, putting together a six pack, whatever. You're hand delivering them. You're, you know, going to farmers markets. You're doing a lot of stuff, whatever you're
Oh,
doing.
you
You
did
come, just
farmers
getting to know
market
your
at the
friends.
beginning. Ah, yes, of
Yeah,
course. Yeah.
I was at the Brickworks for a little while, and selling through to some like local restaurants. Like some people really believed in me. Like I was selling through like Civil Liberties bars, snacks, and. What was that other one called? It's closed now. It was on Dundas West. Anyway, the former owner of Mahjong, he had this other great bar that was like a games bar that was downstairs. Anyway, they would put a bunch of my canned food on the menu and they would serve snacks,
Well, that's
canned
how I've
snacks.
seen it. I've actually, now I can recall seeing canned goods, and I don't know where, but it was in Toronto. And I was like, what is this? And I think that's probably what most people initially said. Tell me more. I mean, seriously, if I opened a can of your product right now, like lobster, for example, would I be knocked out of my socks?
I sure hope so. I am. I think what's interesting is like when you crack it, it's like it's surprising and it's different. You know, it's not like getting a lobster roll at the Wharf in PEI. You're not going to have the same experience because it's not there. You know, you're not an ocean breeze. But I find it to be like a key to tasting sort of the terroir of what we have in this country. You know, and. Is as clean and flavored as well, and as like with respect as possible. And it's like I can taste the people that have worked on it, like the labor that goes into it, and like the community that's supporting it. And you know, Eric, the engineer, who's like this French Canadian guy who's sweet as a peach, who's like started his training doing retort and thermal processing like in the 60s and hoping that canning would get really cool. And then it died off. And now I'm like, can we do canning? And he was like, I've been
Yes,
waiting for this
please.
moment, you know, like my whole, that's why I went to school. He's like in his 70s or whatever. Maybe he's not that old, but like in his late 60s. So I don't know. I think it's a unique product. I think it's a unique category and one that's growing and people are interested in sort
So
of learning more about.
you did all this experimentation at the beginning. What's new and exciting today, and what will we see out of Charlotte Langley that's going to go like, oh, this is the new hot thing. This is like, wow.
Well, Scout launched a series of seafood snacks. So it's sort of like encouraging people to snack more. Like the snacking category, like snackification, if you want to call it, well, isn't going anywhere. People love to snack, you know, like in between meals, or they're having more snacks throughout the day instead of big meals, et cetera, et cetera. So the seafood snacks are the way to add texture and crunch to a can, because canned food is often quite soft, right? It doesn't have a
Yes.
lot of diverse texture. So you add this little crunchy topper that kind of make it's a mix in, and then it adds like these really bright flavors and a lot of crunch. And it has a high protein content, so it makes you feel good. And it's like a healthy, clean protein, all the things that people are looking for. And that launched across the states recently. We had to just do some more upgraded bilingual packaging just to make sure it's perfect and accurate and beautiful. We're very close, and it'll be coming here in the new year. So. Well, you'll see that soon, and it's a fun way to enjoy Scout.
And what about, let's talk about accessing the actual ingredients. Now, this must be of interest to you as well. Do you go and visit the actual fisher people and say, I see your product, I love your product, I want you to provide me with 1,000 of these?
Well, the thing is, I think like most things in life, it starts off with relationships, right?
Right.
And the relationships that I've sort of been fostering my entire career have happened to be in seafood. And because I'm from Prince Edward Island and I worked in British Columbia on the coast and I worked in the seafood restaurants and I've been an advocate for, you know, ethical source responsible seafood my whole career, which is 20 years. And I've just started reaching out. I go to visit people and say, hey, I want to do this. And they say, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, well, I got
I
that one. Well, how about you move
figured
past
that
that?
out some time ago.
Yeah, I figured that out a while ago. So, yeah, we communicate with all of the fisheries that we are associated with. You know, we're trying to find ways to, you know, support and improvements to the process. You know, whether
Yes.
it be like a small piece of equipment that makes things faster or more time efficient or, you know, easier for the people that are working there. We talk to them about quotas annually, saying, you know, what's coming in, what's the volume. You know, like to get into like one example of minutia and protein, mussels,
Yes.
they change their shape and size and weight throughout the year. Right, they eat and then they mate and then they get thin and then they go into hibernation. Like they kind of go in these different waves. How the temperature of the ocean, the season, the tides, all these things contribute to how muscle meat looks. So the best time to get muscle meat on the east coast of Canada is usually like around June, July, because they've eaten the most. There's lots of food for them, so they're plump and they're fat. So an average muscle could be 9 to 11 grams after it's gone out of the shell. But like in the wintertime, when it's colder, there's less food available, they're much more slim and tiny. So it's like, well, let's can mussels in the fall or in June, July, in the peak season when they're the most plump, their best season. So it's less labor to open up the shells. So you only need to open for one can, you need to open 20 versus 35.
Right.
And it's the maximized volume of that species. So if you say, hey guys, like, we have these projected ideas that we want to do 10,000 cans, whatever the number is.
Wow.
We need this much muscle. That's just an example.
Yeah,
okay. We've done a lot of cans. And we need to have this much pound of muscle with this yield at this time of year to produce this much volume, you know, with some loss based on like a cracked shell or et cetera. So just figuring out, we're constantly in talks with the producer, with the suppliers and the fishers, because they're there for like, right, they're on the sea, they're working in the mussel plant, you know, they're working at the lobster processing facility and talking with the fishers. So that comes down to, you know, really the operations person or the operations team, you know, because they are basically in direct conversation often with the producers of the seafood or the harvesters, the
no
fishers.
Kidding.
Because it's all about managing an insane calendar.
I'm so glad that we've had a few minutes of your day, your week, your month at a busy time of year. You know, Charlotte Langley, what are you on the road a lot? Do you get to?
Yeah. I travel quite a bit, and I'm trying to take a pause right now. I'm actually, my partner Steven, he's like, "Are you coming home this month?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm going home." But my projects take me kind of all over the place because of the nature of the world, I think it is. Like, we have the opportunity to be with people again. So, like, FaceTime goes a long way. You know, shaking someone's hand in person goes a long way in business and also long-term relationships, right? You have to manage your relationships. You can just be like, hey, nice to meet you. Now we're friends for life, no matter what. It's like, now we still have to stay engaged, communicate, and touch base, et cetera.
Well,
so it takes me from east to west, north to south. I'm heading to Spain and Portugal again in the new year for R&D and like friendships and, you know, a whole bunch of opportunities that I'm looking at. And there's a beautiful, the Economist is hosting a sort of a global ocean forum, which I get to be speaking at, which is really exciting to talk about my passion for, you know, consumer facing CPG products and how to get people like, excited about sourcing environmentally more so than they have, or opportunities for consumers to find ways to make impact that's positive for ocean health and ocean and waterways health without it being scary or overwhelming. You know, like, there's a bunch of stuff that I want to speak about and share on a larger stage, so I'm having some opportunities to do that, which is awesome.
Well, you're so passionate. I love it. You know what? We've been so fortunate to speak with Charlotte Langley today and to talk about Scout Canning. I want to say thank you to Charlotte. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is QOL. And, you know, you can listen asynchronously as well on Spotify. Just Google my name, Q, Cruzel, in the word QOL or podcast, and it's there for you anytime. Charlotte Langley, I've got to talk to you more about some of the things you're doing for sure. And I've got to have some more from Scout Canning.